640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. As a student breakfast program was underway at Perry High School in Iowa, someone started shooting. A sixth grader died and five others have been wounded. Mitch Mortvedt with Iowa's Division of Criminal Investigation.
The shooter has been identified as 17-year-old Dylan Butler, a student at Perry High School. Butler was armed with a pump-action shotgun and a small-caliber handgun.
The gunman took his life. The CBS's Ed O'Keefe is in Perry.
The reaction so far today has been sort of that classic, and we see this every time, kind of, I can't believe it would happen here, kind of shock. These students were either en route to school or not even there yet and turned right around and told they don't have school tomorrow, won't be back until Monday now at the earliest.
No word on a motive. A scare in the subway on New York City's Upper West Side. A passenger train collided with an out-of-service train and then derailed. Some two dozen people were injured in the slow-speed crash. New York City Transit President Richard Davey.
Thankfully, there were no serious injuries. Obviously, two trains should not be bumping into one another. We are going to get to the bottom of that.
It might be a good weekend to stay inside if you live in the Northeast. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson says a mix of snow and freezing rain is on the way.
The highest snowfall areas are likely to be places that are going to be well inland, and that's going to be the Berkshires in Massachusetts, up into the Catskills of New York, the Poconos in Pennsylvania.
The U.S. strikes down a pro-Iran military leader that it says has been attacking U.S. military personnel. CBS's Cammie McCormick reports.
The airstrike killed a high-ranking commander of an Iranian-backed militia. Those militias have been stepping up their attacks on American forces in Iraq and Syria since Israel's war with Hamas began. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
I'm not going to comment on this specific attack, but I will say that when groups and individuals take action targeting U.S. forces, the United States will not hesitate to defend itself.
Former President Trump's defense team says Special Prosecutor Jack Smith is working on the election interference case and shouldn't be, since it's on hold while their client appeals a ruling. They're asking Judge Tonya Chutkan to hold Smith's team in contempt. More from CBS's Scott McFarland.
Trump's lawyers argue that Jack Smith has violated the rules and a court order by just filing those papers and that he should be sanctioned. That doesn't mean the judge is opening up those filings, reading through them, reviewing them, and making decisions, but they still think Jack Smith violated the orders.
Tony Award-winning stage and screen star Glynis Johns has died at 100. She starred opposite Julie Andrews in the Mary Poppins movie and was the first person to sing Stephen Sondheim's Send in the Clowns. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A public memorial for Senator Herb Kohl is a week from Friday in Milwaukee. Kohl helped build his family's chains of grocery and department stores. He served four terms as a U.S. senator, and he owned the Milwaukee Bucks for many years. People can make donations in Kohl's name to the La Follette School of Public Affairs, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation, and Wisconsin Teachers Classroom Projects. 47 groups led by farmers got $1 million worth of grants from the state of Wisconsin last year. The money from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protections supports farmer-led initiatives to improve Wisconsin's soil and water quality. This is the ninth round of grant awards since funding was first made available in the 2015-2017 state budget. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks fall to the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost again to the Indiana Pacers, 142-130. It's the fourth time in a row Indiana has beat Milwaukee. After halftime, the Pacers came out and scored 47 points in just the third quarter. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
They played harder. They're executing better. They're making shots. They're playing together. They're playing fast. They're crashing the board. They're guarding. They're loading. They're double teaming. and they're rebounding the ball.
NFL, the Packers got back several players off the injury list, and Jaire Alexander returned after a one-week suspension for conduct detrimental to the team. I asked him if he was surprised he was suspended.
I was surprised by the suspension. I thought maybe I'd get fined.
Will Jaire play Sunday against the Bears? Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into too many of the specifics. You guys will find out later in the week, but I will say that it was great to have him back. We had a great conversation on Monday, and I think he's ready to go.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, a high in the mid-30s. Then snow developing for late tomorrow night, carrying over into Saturday, high in the mid-30s. Flurries wrap up Sunday, high upper 30s. Currently, it's 26.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Ha ho, hey Kargi, welcome to all of our friends and relatives from all four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is producer Haley Cherry. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis, and we're so thankful for their partnership and all of the positive work they're doing. And wow, what a treat. We have one of our weekly guests as our host today, guest hosting for Robert Pilot, the president and CEO of NACDI himself, Robert Lilligren. Pina Grigi, thank you so much, Robert, for joining me today and for bringing along a couple great guests.
Yeah, Chimigwech Haley, thanks for asking me. Thanks for supporting me in doing this guest host. Huge thanks to the Native Roots Radio and I'm Awake for having me on so regularly, and to Robert Pilot, who is off doing important things in the world tonight. And so I'm honored to try to fill his moccasins here. So, bonjour, Nene Ganadug. Hello, my relatives. It's great to be here. And Haley, thanks for your kind words. And you're always so supportive of our work. And we do have a couple of great guests coming up. The first one will be one of NACDI's newest employees, I think probably the newest. They are communications coordinator. It's M. Mattson. And they'll be talking to us about their involvement in the community and the role at NACDI. And also, we have a very old friend and super community member, Carrie Day Aspinwall, who will be joining us to talk about the work that she does as an independent contractor, but also she has been deeply involved in the community for her entire life. And she will have lots of interesting things to say. So I'm very excited to get into welcoming our guests at this time. And so first up would be M. Mattson, and I will let them introduce themselves, but I would just suffice it to say that M has been with our organization just a short time. They are filling an incredibly important role as communications coordinator, and they come to us with deep and rich experience in the community. So welcome, M. Thanks for being here.
Chimigwech, Ani and Kinawea. Hi, my relatives. I am M. Mattson. I'm Sault Ste. Marie Ojibwe, and I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for saying yes.
So I'm new to NACDI, but really enjoying the work so far.
Great. It's great having you around. You're just a great positive presence within the organization. And I don't know. Maybe you could just spend a few minutes talking about your background. I know you've been very engaged in a number of causes and organizations throughout the Native community. So enlighten us, please.
Yeah, I think a lot of people know me, especially from working with the Two-Spirit Society. I got involved with them, oh gosh, years and years and years ago. Back when I was still trying to figure out what my identity was, and found it was just a really welcoming community. And since have been trying to work to help other people feel that welcome energy, you know? We recently, in the past couple of years, have put on the Two-Spirit Powwow, which I kind of fell into, as I do with a lot of my projects. And I've really enjoyed creating like a safe space and creating a space where community members feel like they can ask questions and be a part of a community that they might not have a whole lot of knowledge about. I love working in that space, and I try to be kind of a connector of people and resources. So
great. And I know you were involved in the Two-Spirit Powwow, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So helped.
What
put
was
that
your role
on
there? Yeah.
Well, the first year it was me and a few other coordinators. It just kind of happened. Showed up to a few couple meetings and kept showing up. And the second year I tried to take a little bit more of a backseat role. I did still end up coordinating a lot, but my kind of baby of that year was working on a Two-Spirit zine. So I compiled a lot of art and poetry, beadwork, to a zine to provide to attendees and even folks who didn't end up being able to make it to the event. And we also used that as an opportunity to answer some people's questions, both for folks in the LGBT community who were trying to support us as Indigenous folks in their community, and to Indigenous folks who are less familiar with people in the LGBT community. We found that the Two-Spirit Powwow is a really good space for learning and connection from kind of a lot of communities, which has been really fun.
Yeah, Chi-Mi-Gwech for that work. And I did attend the Two-Spirit Powwow this summer, and it was a great crowd. I was really impressed.
Yes, even though we had to be inside because of the weather, people still stuck around. It was really fun.
Yeah, good work. And I love what you said, Em, about you showed up and you just kept showing up. And with your level of activism, I'm sure you've heard the saying, the world is run by those who show up, right? And so sometimes that's just all it takes. And
yes,
that's kind of how I got into my sort of activism in public life too, was just kind of showing up and taking up space and then figuring things out and building a network. And I've had the benefit of looking at your resume as you were applying for your position at NACTI, and it's so impressive and so broad.
You.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I wonder if you want to just talk about some of your other experiences in the community.
Yeah. So after I realized the corporate world wasn't for me, I've worked at a couple different nonprofits. I worked in North Minneapolis for a little bit at the Weber Camden Neighborhood Organization, which was really fun. Just getting to do a lot of on the ground stuff, working with people very similar to our community, the Indigenous community, just trying to work with one another to share the resources available. And after that, I worked with Natives, or North American Indigenous, sorry, Traditional Indigenous Food Systems, and the Indigenous Food Lab, and got to really spend a lot of time in the food sovereignty space, which I love spending time talking about Indigenous food sovereignty. Mm-hmm. It is so crucial, and it is just so blossoming right now, growing, if we're playing with puns.
budding.
budding, you know, any number.
Right.
But it's really fun to be surrounded by a lot of passionate folks in that industry as well, or in that area.
Yeah, I do love that space, the food sovereignty space. It's a space that NACTI works in as well through our Four Sisters Food Sovereignty Initiatives, our farmers market, our farm. Now still have lots of opportunity to support that work at NACTI as well. And so looking forward to seeing what happens there. And And I wonder, if you want to just talk about your role at NACDI and what your hopes and aspirations are. And so folks know NACDI is an asset-based community development intermediary here in Minneapolis. We're on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. We help Native people realize the future that we envision for ourselves. And we've needed this communication support that Emma's is bringing us. And so, if you'd like to talk a little about your work and what you hope to accomplish while you're at NACDI, please.
Yeah. One thing I really love about NACDI is the variety of programming and connections. So my work is largely communicating and connections for events, resources, partner organizations. One really large part of my role is creating a resource directory of mm-hmm. Indigenous-owned, Indigenous-serving organizations, something that's physical and digital, so that mm-hmm. our community knows where they can get resources, businesses that they can, go visit and support, just sort of have as a central hub, because there are so many really awesome organizations and businesses that I don't think a whole lot of people know how to get access to. So I'm really excited to start working on that.
I am thrilled that you're with us to work on that. We had printed a resource guide about 10 years ago. People loved it. I think this next iteration might be web-based, app-based, like you're talking about, but there is so much interest in the community and we're so glad you're here. So welcome, Em, and I look forward to seeing all the amazing things you do while you're at NACDI.
Thanks.
Yeah,
well, that
you.
Was great. It was great to learn more about you, Em, and we got to take a quick short break here, but you are listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and stay with us.
Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over, but there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test. They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community.
Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Yeah, bonjour, Ninogondadak, hello, my relatives. Haley, thanks for helping us here, and thanks for inviting me into guest host. I'm filling in, this is Robert Lilligren, citizen of the White Earth Ojibwe Nation. I am filling in for Robert Pilot, who's up doing some of his important stuff in the community and in the world. So I'm honored to be here, and I will do my best to fill Robert's considerably huge moccasins here. And we have two guests with us today. The first is Em Matson, who's here. She's the communications coordinator for the Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI. Coming up after this is Carrie Day Aspinwall, a very well-known person within the community whose work is long and deep on behalf of our people. So we'll be talking with her next. And we're getting to know Em here, which is just really nice. And I'm still getting to know Em. She's only worked at NACDI a very short time. And we heard a little about Em's past experiences in the community and what they envision their role to be at NACDI. And now maybe we can talk about how M's journey and how they got here. And, you know, communications is such an interesting field, a varied field. Yeah. At NACDI, we recently started what we call our storytelling team. And this has really galvanized our work and our ability to tell our work to the broader world and also the work within the community. And M's going to play a key role in doing that. So, yeah, M, welcome. Thanks again for being here. And tell us how you got here, how you got where you are in the communications world, please.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think everyone's journey is a little bit differently. I've always kind of been a storyteller, someone who likes to focus on that. I also write in my free time or as contract work. And I've just found communications to be such a really expansive field. When we talk about what I want to do at NACDI, I've brought up a couple times that I would love to move into mentoring someone, young Indigenous people, or honestly, anyone of any age in communications, because I found it opens so many doors. You can really find yourself in any field. Everyone needs communications. And while I think my education was incredibly helpful for, you know, practicing a lot of writing styles and being able to have a lot of mentors in that way, I think any education level, anyone of any experience can jump into this field. And so I would really love to just see more folks, if they're not sure what direction they want to go, just consider it. Because I mean, most teenagers understand the Instagram algorithm better than me of 10 years of doing this, you know, just
sure.
by nature. So I think there's a lot of ways for people to develop skills and jump into this field.
I just love your attitude here, Em, and your interest in transferring your skills and experience to other folks, mentoring and engaging them. And it's so much baked into the NACDI model, right? This transference of knowledge, transference of skill, capacity building. So I know you will have ample opportunity while you're at NACDI to do that mentoring. And as Em knows, and Haley knows to a point because she's familiar with our work, but we really emphasize capacity building at NACDI at the individual level, even within our own staff, but at the community level as well. And I look forward to sort of building programs out of your interest in mentorship, because I've always felt that in our community, we would benefit if each and every community member could be a spokesperson for the community. And we've done some trainings to get folks sort of camera ready and things so they can participate in interviews. We help facilitate media into the community and things. And I really see a role for you in that.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting.
I have a question for you. Yeah. Where did you get your communications degree? Is that what you got your degree in?
I got my degree from Iowa State, and I got it in advertising and English. When I had first graduated, I thought I wanted to be in, you know, in the ad world, doing all that stuff, and thought about it for a long time. And it is such a competitive and cutthroat environment, and I am not that kind of person. But luckily, the training I got just works really well with a lot of different types of communication styles that aren't just focused on, you know, being in the advertising world, but rather just a variety of, there's so many different ways that we talk, whether it's on the radio or in a news article or via Facebook, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree too. And I just want to jump in and say I have a communications degree from the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, and I didn't know what I wanted to do either. I wanted to do sports broadcasting. I filmed a lot of hockey and basketball games for the Golden Gophers. And, you know, here I am on the radio. And, you know, there's just so many opportunities when you get a communications degree. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's a liberal arts school and it's one of the easiest degrees. It's actually really hard because there's so much to learn, and there's a lot of ways to communicate, and a lot of things that a lot of outlets to do so.
Yes. And it's so transferable too. It really is the kind of knowledge that you can find yourself in any position and find it useful.
I love that. I love that approach. Haley, great questions and comments. And I didn't know that about your background, Haley. So good to know. And right now we're in such a great era of narrative change, right? Where mm-hmm. Native people are taking control of our narratives. The rest of the world seems to be listening a little more mm-hmm. than maybe they have in past decades. And so people like you, Haley, like you, Em, our young people, young professionals are so critical in that narrative change work. So miigwech for the work that you're doing. And I just wanted to talk, I know you do writing, you talked about your zine, mm-hmm. you talked about enjoying writing. Do you want to talk a little more about some of your writing projects that you're either sure. doing or have done or maybe interested in?
Yeah, a lot of my writing, we're about to get a little nerdy, is in the tabletop role-playing game space. If you're familiar
does
with
sound kind of nerdy, but yep.
if you're familiar with like Dungeons and Dragons, I like to describe it as group storytelling. There's a lot of really cool, interesting ways beyond just Dungeons and Dragons. One I worked on was called Coyote and Crow. It's an entirely indigenous role-playing game where you can sit down and tell stories together in this world where Native people are the focus, and Native thought and storytelling is crucial. And it works a little bit differently in that way. And I just find the space really fun because I think telling stories, joking together, exploring concepts in like new ways is so exciting. And it's a great way to bring people together, especially in a day and age where it's easy to just kind of isolate yourself. Mm-hmm. I find that it's a really creative industry. And I'm really excited about all the new diverse ways of telling stories that are starting to come out of it.
Very cool. Very cool. And do you write fiction as well? Poetry, things like that?
I do. I write poetry a little bit. I've submitted a couple poems to a few things. And then I also do like contract work with, blogs or online articles, that sort of stuff as well. Fiction, I haven't, put anything out there. I muddle in it, but we'll see if that anything comes to fruition with that.
Well, you're young. There's plenty of time yet. So, and also just so folks know about NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, part of our models, we try to support these incredibly talented young Native professionals in other aspects of their life as well. So really just about everyone, everyone who works at NACD has other things that they do. Some are professional musicians, some are professional panel speakers, but everyone has something else going on in their lives, and we support them to do that work as well, because then it makes them more well-rounded community members mm-hmm. and workers at NACD.
That has been one of my favorite parts about joining NACD is the team is full of really smart, talented, and very kind individuals. So I felt very welcome and very impressed by the work everyone does.
Oh, good to hear. That's so affirming. Thanks, Em. And one of the things that we were just talking about today is how much musical talent yes. we have in our staff. So we're thinking we might have to form a band. And we actually do have professional musicians on our staff as well, but it sounds like everyone just about has some kind of musical talent.
Yeah, we'll have to do a talent show sometime, open mic night.
I would love that. I would love that. I think it would be really interesting. So at NACD, I know, Haley, you've been into our offices, and we all kind of work in this one big space. It's very communal, very collaborative. So, Emma, I was just going to ask you, what has been your biggest surprise coming to NACD?
I think in regards to the space, like you were talking, it is truly a hub of, the cultural corridor. I run into people almost every day that I know. It's really fun to be able to catch up right when you're getting your morning coffee have folks come in and chit chat during our meetings. It's really fun.
Great. Yep, our office is right off Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop, a real community hub. So thanks for joining us, Em. It's been fascinating. Next, we'll be talking to Carrie Day Aspinwall, who has a lot to talk about, I'm sure. And so this is Robert Lilligren filling in for Robert Pilot.
Yes, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio Network presents I'm Awake. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. One student is dead and five others at Perry High School in Iowa are wounded after a 17-year-old student opens fire and then takes his own life. Mitch Mortvet with Iowa's Division of Criminal Investigation.
Officers located during the search of the school an improvised explosive device. The state fire marshal and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms rendered the device safe.
Two dozen people are injured when a New York City subway train collides at slow speed with an out-of-service train and derail.
The train starts shaking very hard, and then we feel like the train is going fully down to the left side.
For attacking American personnel in Iraq and Syria, the U.S. kills a pro-Iran military commander in a Baghdad strike. Pentagon spokesperson Pat Ryder.
Those forces have represented a threat to our forces. And again, we maintain the inherent right of self-defense and will take necessary actions to protect our forces.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Making simulations of child pornography with artificial intelligence may become a crime in Wisconsin. A legislative committee heard testimony Wednesday on a bill. State Representative Calvin Callahan says AI images are created from real photos, and he says those kids are victims. Voting is good for your health, according to the American College of Physicians. Research shows states with fewer barriers to voting have better health outcomes. ACP President Omar Attic.
If there is more voter participation, there will be better health care policies and therefore better health care.
Wisconsin's ballot access ranked 47th in the 2022 Cost of Voting Index. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, a high in the mid-30s. Then snow developing for late tomorrow night, carrying over into Saturday, high in the mid-30s. Flurries wrap up Sunday, high upper 30s. Currently it's 26.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1. U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yeah, bonjour, Indianaganadak. Hello, my relatives. I'm Robert Lilligren. I'm the president and CEO of the Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI. I have the honor of filling in for Robert Pilot today as the guest host. Huge thanks, Chimiigwech, to Haley for all of her support, supporting getting us here, and Chimiigwech to M. Mattson. She was an incredible guest during the first half of the show, and I'm just getting to know her as a coworker, and I'm so impressed. And one of the things I love about my work at NACDI is that I get to spend time with these incredibly bright, talented, young Native professionals who are all going places. And I always make it a point during people's onboarding at NACDI to talk about their last days at NACDI too. And you know, this is part of their journey. And my goal is that when they leave NACDI, they feel better prepared and supported to move on to their next roles in the world. And so it's always a thrill. And on the second half of the program, we have another thrilling guest and a very long-term friend of mine. Like me, she identifies as an urban Indian here in the Twin Cities metro area. She grew up right here in South Minneapolis, around the Little Earth community. I've known Carrie for decades, and I've known her in a number of roles that she's served within the community, supporting our people and communities beyond just the Native community. But her work in the Native community, I think, is always a little special. Broad, she's been very integral in the constitutional drafting movement here in Minnesota. Maybe she can talk a little about that as well. We've worked together in a number of ways and in a number of capacities and on a number of projects. So it is my huge honor and thrill to introduce to you Carrie de Aspinwall. Bonjour, Carrie.
Bonjour. Good evening, my relatives. Thank you for such a nice intro. I do love you. With the work that we've done and the journey that we've been on, it just, you know, it just takes the strength of our relationships to get all of us down this path. And it's been quite a journey. It really has.
It has. So, yeah, it's been decades, maybe probably 30 years, something like that.
Oh, yeah. So, bonjour, everyone. Good evening. Thanks for joining us. And Indigenikas, Beaver is my Anishinaabe name given to me by my grandfather, John Sam, of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. I'm an enrolled citizen of Gagaskwajamaykug, which is the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe of the Minnesota Chippewa tribe. So, but I have resided in and around Gobbikog, Minneapolis. I'm a one word warrior, so you got to bear with me. I'm sticking to that. I'm a one word warrior, and I'm learning my language. So the city of Minneapolis, growing up right in the Phillips neighborhood, as Robert said, in and around the Little Earth neighborhood. All those folks over there are my relatives, my sisters, my brothers, my cousins, all of it. My dad, when he needed to come and find me, when I finally needed to go home, because I wouldn't have to go home at Little Earth.
Right.
I'd just go from house to house to house and do this homework, do it all. And then all of a sudden you could hear everybody going, Carrie, your dad's here. And you could see my dad's red truck going around Little Earth, come look for me. So yeah, we've been in the neighborhood all my life. I've served my community all my life.
Yes, you have. And for folks who might not be from Minnesota or Minneapolis, Little Earth is Little Earth of United Tribes. It's a very unique community, urban community. It's a HUD project-based Section 8 housing development that gives Native preference right here in the city. So consequently, maybe 98-99% of the residents there are Native. And it's really the hub of our Native community, and it's what gives the whole area around the American Indian Cultural Corridor it's a sustained Native identity. It's that strong residential presence.
Oh, completely. And again, it's 893 apartments to live there. 893. I think we got 39 different tribes that are represented there. And so again, I've committed myself, my life, my energy, my family, everything to the betterment of our people.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So, Gary, I know you have an independent consultant business now, and we've even partnered on several projects through that. But through the years, you played so many roles in the community. I think when I first met you, you were working for the city of Minneapolis.
I was, yeah.
Under the federally funded Weed and Seed Project, the idea to weed out bad things, crime, and to seed in good things. And that was probably 25 years ago or more. So impressed with you. And so I don't know if you want to just talk a little about your journey or maybe some of the different roles that you've played.
Well, like I said, my dad, he put me right in the truck with him, and we would go up and down Franklin Avenue. And I think, I know for sure in my heart and in my spirit that the things that I was learning while sitting next to my dad traveling up and down Franklin Avenue was what made me what I am today. The commitment that I have to our people and to making sure that we take care of one another. That was one thing at that time. Franklin Avenue was dotted with bars and liquor stores. Mm-hmm. And my dad would drive up and down and he'd say, "There's that family right there from Leech Lake. That's the dad. We need to go pick him up and get him some coffee." And he would take people to the Chef Cafe, coffee. And I'm sitting there, little girl, watching my dad get these people, shag them off the street and get them back to their homes. We used to have wives come to our back door. "Joe hasn't been home for a couple of days. Hank, will you please go check and see if he's down there?" And so sure enough, dad would pack me up again and we'd go down there. Christmas, Thanksgiving, all of that. My dad worked for a union, truck drivers union. He actually worked for Jimmy Hoffa for a time.
Oh, wow.
Brought him to Leech Lake, took him fishing and hunting up on Leech Lake. But Jimmy really liked my dad, and he let my dad take all kinds. We used to deliver Christmas boxes and Thanksgiving boxes to all the Indians in all over the place. Sure. I mean, we worked with Holy Rosary. And so again, that whole giving, taking care of, and philanthropic vein definitely came from my dad. Yeah. So I've served my community my entire career.
Yeah.
I graduated from high school early, age 17. It was too easy. I went to South High and sat in the back because that's where all my friends were. But then the work was done. So I'm leaning over, visiting, and pretty soon I had to get moved to the front of the class because too much visiting. And I just thought, this is too easy. So I graduated a whole year before my class walked.
Yeah.
And my dad,
good for you.
Yeah. My dad took me right over to Francis Fairbanks at the Indian Center.
Well, that's where I was just going to go with this.
Yeah.
So folks listening in other places, Franklin Avenue, East Franklin Avenue, is what we call the American Indian Cultural Corridor. It's a geography here in Minneapolis that's very strongly identified with Native people. And it's kind of a rare thing to see in an American city to have a real sector that's considered Native, and that's where Katie grew up, that's where Carrie grew up, and then I was just going to bring up the American Indian Center, which is right there on the Cultural Corridor, going through an amazing transformation, huge investment right now. It's going to reopen in May. Yes. Can't wait. And there was a legendary elder and founder of the American Indian Center, Francis Fairbanks, who, of course, we've lost, and she's an ancestor now. But I know that you found your way there, and that Francis really took you in hand and got you engaged in civic affairs.
Francis was instrumental in my life quite a bit. And like I said, Dad walked me right up there, and he said, "This girl can talk on the phone, and she can type on the machines like that." He said, "Put her to work." He said, "She'll work hard and she'll do good for you." And so I did. At age 17, I went in there. I couldn't get into college at that time because you had to be 18. And I was going to go to St. Cloud State, and I couldn't go. My applications and everything were sitting there waiting for that next year to get me done and over there. But yeah, so I went to work for Franny. And in that, the rest of the aunties came in. Shirley Stone, I remember her.
Yeah.
And there was four or five others that mentored me. And they said, you know what? You're going to go downtown. You're going to go underneath the clock. You know,
at
and
City Hall time, here in Minneapolis.
Yeah. And at that time, going underneath the clock wasn't so good because that's where the jail was.
Right.
And
It still is.
And so, but they put me uptown and they said, you go over there and you learn everything. We're going to support you. You go over there and you learn everything and you bring it home over here and you tell us what they say. And I did. Mm-hmm. I was infamous for having my pen or my pencil and my pad, taking down notes, copious notes to bring back to those ladies, because I did have to report back. I mean, they were really adamant about knowing things and how did they react? What's the process? And so again, this opportunity to do the Federal Weed and Seed Program out of the Department of Justice was just a natural opportunity. During the time, because again, we were as Indian people, we were trying to understand the inside of the clock, if you would, processes, policies, and all of that. And so Weed and Seed came up. You don't know how much grief I got about Weed and Seed. I mean, Carrie Day from the Phillips neighborhood, they're like, she's going to do what? Weed and what? You know, kind of a big joke for a really long time. But after the concept got going, the community embraced it, and we enjoyed so much benefit from that program.
It was huge.
It was well resourced.
That was during my time as a Minneapolis City Council member. You were a great partner, and the community benefits so much when people like you can walk in both worlds, right? The community world and the sort of government world as well. So you bring so much value to the community. So we're going to keep talking after we take this next break. We might talk about some current stuff that's going on right there on the cultural corridor. So Chimigwich Carey for joining us. This is Robert Lilligren. I'm filling in for Robert Pilot today.
Yes, and we're with Carrie Day Aspinwall. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Stay with us.
As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving, getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our Native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh!
Good one, Robert.
Thanks. I didn't want to leave you hanging there, Haley. We should have prepped Carrie for that. So she would have known we were going to haul.
Appreciate it.
Hello, my relatives. I'm Robert Lilligren. I'm the CEO of the Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, and I'm here filling in for Robert Pilot, who is busy tonight. So, miigwech for having me, miigwech Haley for supporting us, and we're visiting now with Carrie Day Aspinwall, and she's been telling us some of the stories of how she got sort of established and started in her brilliant career, and I could talk for an hour about all the stuff that Carrie does on behalf of the community. But I want to get into some more conversation. But I will say this, and as someone who's had the privilege and honor to work directly with you so much, Carrie, that I just, you're just this rare person who can really center her indigeneity, your Native values, your Native spirituality at the center of your work. And even if you're working within government or within these complicated sort of community projects or issues or rewriting constitutions, you just really keep your Native identity front and center. And I'm always so impressed with that. Good work, Carrie.
Chi-mi-gwech, thank you so much. Yeah, it's been quite a road. I mean, from little old gal, age 17, well, I was never a little old gal, but 17-year-old, get thrown into, you know, under the direction of these very strong aunties was just amazing. What an opportunity. Yeah. You know, I really appreciated each and every single one of them and loved them until the day they moved on to the star, back to our star village.
And you took full advantage of their mentorship, their guidance.
Yeah.
Several of these aunties were excellent mentors and guides for me as well. Franny, Shirley Stone, you mentioned.
Yes.
And they could be pretty stern taskmasters.
Oh, boy, no kidding. Yeah.
Especially,
that's why I wrote everything down.
When I was on city council, if they didn't like a direction I was going or what they were hearing me say, they called me in and they set me straight.
I appreciate that of them.
And I appreciated it so much.
Well, and again, to get that kind of strong support helped move both of us, you know, into these spaces and places where we really didn't, we weren't welcome, and I guess I didn't feel like I belonged.
Right,
you know,
right.
But I was not going to let my ancestors down. I just wasn't going to do that, or my people, because I had to take the bus every day and go through the neighborhood every single day and watch my people suffer. And right. So again, you know, that's where my strength comes from, and my desire to make things better for all of us, not just the ones who can, you know, even get on the bus, but those that can't.
Right.
You know,
right. And I think these elders like Franny Fairbanks and Shirley Stone, Marlene Hagemol, Hochek Auntie, they really understood that by promoting people like you or me or the thousands of others that they helped mentor, they were amplifying their impact, right?
Yeah.
Their impact, their way to benefit the community. And I just think that's such a good model, lifting each other up.
Where we're at today, look at what we've done to Franklin Avenue. Gosh, you know, from a kid riding him next to my dad, watching our people suffer to today, where we've got our agencies are lined up there, ready to help our people,
right.
and again, stand together, work together to create solutions to some of our most challenging problems.
Right. Speaking of the most challenging problems, and I don't know if you were down on that cultural corridor today or down on Franklin, but there's a feeling there, right? There's kind of a sad day or a difficult day, you know, a really large encampment of our unsheltered relatives. It's called Camp Ninukazi, and that was dismantled today. Mm. And it's, you know, these camps are occupations, right? They're very visible protests of the failed systems. This was almost exclusively Native residents, our relatives living outdoors on city property. It was a camp, I think at its highest, it was probably a little over 200 people.
Yeah.
In this tiny little space, you know, but they were dismantled. They'd already set up camp not three blocks away. down on 14th Avenue and 26th Street. So it's not like we're solving anything.
No,
we're
just kind of moving on.
But this camp that they dismantled today, Ninukasi, was really an attempt for Native people to care for relatives. They centered spirituality, a spirit fire ceremony, and there were issues around it, had really difficult impacts on the surrounding communities and things.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's Native folks trying to care for each other.
Well, and that's what we're supposed to do. Right. That's what being good relatives are all about. Yes, right. We are. I mean, again, if somebody presented themselves to any of our villages back historically, as long as you're good to the people that take you in, you contribute.
Right.
And you commit to the good of the whole community.
Right.
Stay, you know, yeah, stay.
And, I mean, there's a common saying, you know, we were never homeless before 1492.
Right.
Right. And
right.
One of the projects, and maybe we could talk just a little about this, Carrie, because it was just profound. Oh. And it had a profound impact on me. I know it had a profound impact on you.
Yeah.
But 5 years ago, at about this time, there was an enormous encampment, really the first big encampment in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And it was on a little stretch of Minnesota Department of Transportation right away on a highway entrance ramp on this crappy little piece of property. There were some 200 tents, or maybe closer to 300 tents, 200 people living there outdoors. And it was a shocker. And it really, again, was an occupation. It was sort of a living protest. It was next to a very, very busy state highway and our light rail trains. And so tens of thousands of people a day went by this encampment, you know, teepees up and saw this. And so for 5 minutes, they couldn't pretend it didn't really happen.
Right, you know, right.
It's in your face, and you need to help us do something.
Yeah.
And you and I had an excellent opportunity, and not since I say excellent, but incredible opportunity to engage the communities at the wall. And in a special project to directly engage. That was one of the benefits of having 200 people together at the same time, is you could engage with people, you could reach out to them, and you did an excellent job. So maybe you want to talk about that project a little, please.
Well, I my hats go off to your negotiation skills and your ability to bring capacity, like you said, to our community, the Bush Foundation, and how nimble they were in committing to helping us with this immediately, because it's 30 below now. It's going to snow now.
Right.
And so we walked in, I mean, under this partnership, created programs, we fed everybody, we did culture, we brought medicine people in, we gave Indian names to both Dakota and Ojibwe people. There was, you know, two Dakota, Lakota medicine men, couple Ojibwe medicine people to help with people with ceremonies. They want their culture. They want to be good. And they just need some help and some direction. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at some of the clips today where it really is difficult for those who are trying to help to maintain that consistent relationship, which we know they need, that we need to stay connected to our relatives.
Right. And your work was incredible there. And
thank you.
It was your spirit that led it. And we learned some incredible things, profound things. And like you said, what our relatives who were living unsheltered and maybe struggling with opioid use were looking for was this spiritual, cultural kind of healing. That was the keystone. Yep. Of what they were looking for, then housing, then physical health, mental health, chemical health, but it was this culture and spirituality piece that they needed first and foremost. And that was a profound lesson for me to learn.
I love the opportunity that you gave, and I'm so happy that we were able to do what we did at that time.
Yeah, so Chi-Migwich, for everything you do, Chi-Migwich, for being here tonight, sharing. Well, we'll have to have you back sometime.
I need to tell you about what's going on now. It's even bigger.
Okay, can't wait. All
right. We look forward to it. Thank you both so much for coming on tonight. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.